Her professional and personal experiences have led her to this program, which provides information and comfort to families in neonatal intensive care units and helps promote a philosophy of patient and family-centered care. Sarah serves as the chair of the NICU Parent Advisory Committee at her hospital and is an active member of the Northern Virginia Fetal Infant Mortality Review Team. She also serves on the NICU Continuous Quality Improvement Committee and the NICU Design and Build Committee. She received her Master's of Social Work and Master's of Public Health with a specialization in maternal and child health from San Diego State University. Please join me in welcoming Sarah, who will be speaking about risk recurrence prevention in the NICU.
Thank you so much. Like Judy said, I'm going to be talking a little bit about that special window of opportunity that the neonatal intensive care unit could provide for recurrence prevention. I have no disclosures. Judy mentioned briefly about NICU Family Support. This is a project that some of you might be familiar with. We work directly with families in the NICU, providing information while they're there, during that transition home, and during if unfortunately there is an infant death. We do a lot of staff development, and generally we try to promote a philosophy of patient and family-centered care, and we do that by working with our parent advisors, helping connect the NICU with the community to change policies that are more family-centered. We're very excited that at this time we're in 112 hospitals throughout the nation, and we've been able to serve over 75,000 families to date. So I come from a NICU that is right across the Potomac River. It's one of our larger sites. I was in the unit yesterday, and we have 92 babies. So, you know, people don't realize just how many babies are served in some of these units. Why would we do recurrence prevention and risk reduction in the NICU? I think sometimes we as health providers feel, well, maybe it's not appropriate to start talking about that next pregnancy among this population, but it's our experience that it's so vital to have these conversations with families, and we'll talk a little bit about how we do that in a sensitive manner. First, the NICU is a high-risk population. Like Dr. Ashton mentioned, if anyone has a baby before 37 completed weeks, they're at increased risk for that next pregnancy being premature. The March of Dimes has done focus groups in the development of our risk reduction module. We talked with families, and overwhelmingly, they gave us feedback that, yes, this was an appropriate time during the NICU hospitalization, that it is okay to talk about recurrence prevention. But they did also give us a lot of advice about how to do that sensitively and how that could be well received. The NICU provides unique teachable moments. For anyone who's ever been in a NICU, you have an intimate relationship often with your care providers that's quite unique. The unit where I work, the average length of stay is 28 days. So if we were to let 28 days go by and not open ourselves up to these kind of conversations, I think that would be a real missed opportunity. Also, it provides a unique opportunity for intervention. They are not pregnant, and they may get pregnant in the future. So you have, once a woman is already pregnant, oftentimes it's too late to talk about a lot of the things, for example, that Dr. Ashton, that long list of factors that could help result in a positive birth outcome. So how do we do this? Some of the highlights of the program include written materials. So within our going home booklet that we give families well before they go home, so they can start reading it before, you know, the day they go out the door, it talks about choosing a pediatrician, but it also talks about signs and symptoms of preterm labor. It is so sad how many families and mothers have shared with me that they had no idea that some of the symptoms they were experiencing were indeed preterm labor, and they were wishing that they had recognized that earlier and had sought medical attention earlier. Because by the time they got to the hospital, you know, and their baby was born within 12 hours, that they looked back and they thought, well, you know, yes, there was that back pain and, you know, the different symptoms that we all know. We also do a lot of staff training. It's important that the staff is real confident in talking about recurrence prevention with the families. I obviously work directly with the families, but on a day-to-day basis, it's, to be honest with you, the nurses. They are the ones who are at the bedside with the families, and so I particularly focus on the nursing fellows. We do a lot of role-playing. How do you talk to a mom who says something like, you know, will this ever happen again? Or I don't know that I could go through this again. And what are some ways to talk about that next pregnancy? We also do parent-to-parent support. The March of Dimes has an online community called Share Your Story, and it's shareyourstory.org. If you haven't gone on that website, I highly recommend that you do so. There is a lot of sharing and support and information for families that are in the NICU, but it becomes, again, a community that families turn to, and they turn to that online resource for when they're thinking about that next pregnancy. And you can see so many posts about, oh, hey, I'm pregnant and I'm scared. I can't believe... that I'm even thinking about this. Am I nuts? You know, people will kind of have those conversations. And it's so important to just know that there's other people out there having those same questions. I would say, though, the center of our risk reduction program is our family hours. And we're able to really foster a sense of community through everything from classes to scrapbooking, to pizza nights. Just yesterday, we had a really nice Halloween event for the families where people could come together and just talk. And you see that their stress level really goes down. And when people are really making those connections, that's when those conversations happen about the next pregnancy or fears that they have about their future, the outcomes of even the baby that's currently in the NICU. And those are the times where it's important to have information and to be able to talk with families in a way that is sensitive. So here's an example of one of our slides that we do in our classes. If your baby was premature, speak to your doctor about ways to decrease the chance your next baby will be born early. And this message is actually carefully crafted so that it encourages a parent to seek medical attention. It provides somewhat of a sense of hope that there could be intervention. It certainly doesn't guarantee that, but it does let them know that if you have experienced premature birth, you are at risk for that next pregnancy. And people are surprised to hear that. Sometimes I think because so many times premature birth, we don't know why, that it feels like maybe it's uncontrollable, that this is something that I can't do anything about. So parents want the knowledge that there may be something you can do something about. But what we do is we put that kind of message in the context of other important going home messages. And I call the class that I do called 10 Important Things to Know Before You Take Your Baby Home. It's catchy. People are almost afraid not to come to the class. Sometimes they can't come to the class and they go, Sarah, just tell me the 10 things. Just bottom line it for me. And I reassure them that a lot of what we're teaching is reflected in what they will be taught at the bedside. And I do a lot of private, you know, 10 things kind of discussions. But great example is the back to sleep message. And they are crushed when I tell them that bumpers are not a good idea. You know, they've heard back to sleep about the bumpers and the co-bedding and all the other important recommendations, but that's one that we talk about a lot. Keeping germs away from your baby, also a very lively conversation. Is it okay to have that group baptism? Is it, you know, do I really have to stay in the house for the next year? The neat thing about this one, though, is that keeping germs away from your baby hopefully will increase the health status of the whole family, And so if the family can learn to keep themselves healthy, then that mom is going to be a lot healthier if she gets pregnant. So some of them have kind of a, you know, keeps the baby healthy and hopefully prevents a readmission for the baby, but it also could keep the mom healthier. So special considerations. So many of our families experience a traumatic birth or loss. I think sometimes we think about the NICU as something that happens and all of a sudden the family finds themselves in the NICU and how scary that would be. But our experience is that most of the time people's NICU journey does not start at the day of admission. They have a whole series of losses. Sometimes people are admitted to the high-risk pregnancy unit for weeks at a time. There's a lot that happens beforehand, and there's often a lot of stress and trauma even around the birth experience alone, and especially for the dads, too. I talk to so many dads, and he experiences often the birth as a situation where he almost lost the baby and almost lost his partner. So this impacts how you talk about that next pregnancy, because sometimes it's the dads that say, I don't know that I can go through this. You know, I don't know that I could face that again. You know, the mom wants to have three children, and he's not sure that he can face that fear of losing a baby and losing his wife. So that's when the support comes in. We also find that families sometimes don't realize some of the messages, and that can be traumatic in and of itself. I have a quote here. I really didn't understand that having twins were so risky. I'm not sure that we would have said it was okay to use two eggs. And this is a mom who lost one of her twins. So what's that like sitting and talking with her about a future pregnancy? You know, it's important to consider that. The other element here is to talk about and recognize that a lot of NICU families will have shame or guilt, even if they sort of did the classic, I did everything right, that there's a lot of shame there. But what you can do through some supportive messages is to turn that shame and guilt into support and hope. I sit in classes and so many people, they'll raise their hand and they'll say, well, but I did everything right. You know, Sarah, you're talking about that next pregnancy, and they say, I did everything right. And I am able to say, well, the encouraging thing is that there's advances every day. And I encourage you to talk to your provider. Sometimes also talking to the provider is an emotional issue because they will have experienced that traumatic birth with that provider, and they may not want to go back there. So talking to them about choosing someone else can be helpful as well. I want to end with a case example. This is Erin, and I vividly remember talking with her about that next pregnancy during scrapbooking. And before she got pregnant, she's 33 weeks pregnant now, and 33 in 3 days, she wanted me to mention. she talked to me, and it was really incredible because she called me and she said, I remember we talked in scrapbooking about that next pregnancy, and can I really go and talk with my clothes on to a doctor about my choices and what the chances of getting preeclampsia again? She was scared to death. And I said, absolutely. And so she does she has this appointment, and she says, wow, they really did, and I feel so much more in control. I know that they don't know why I got preeclampsia, but I do know that there's a lot of things I can do to keep myself healthy, and that I can control. So that was the really important message for her. She also was smart enough to seek professional help and get a therapist because of her anxiety level was so high with this next pregnancy that she was worried that her stress would make her anxious, and then that would impact her blood pressure, and it was like this cycle. And I thought that was just very insightful of her and just so important that she really, with given the appropriate support and given the tools, that she really could take more action to keep she and her baby healthy. So we'll stay tuned. She's thrilled to be in Pregnancy Jeans. You know, things like that, that she missed out on the first pregnancy because Gus was born at 26 weeks. And he was doing well, too. But.